Stieglitz said you could hand a camera to a monkey and it would take 1,000 photographs and get one right. If you learn how to set a shutter speed and you learn how to set an aperture and you learn how to see, that's more important than any other app.
Can computers help us take better photographs? This is Future Lab, the online radio series of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. Computing has had a profound influence on photography. With so many apps and digital tools, it's hard to take a bad picture. Or is it? This story is about computer vision, how machines see. It turns out the thing we do with our brains very easily, making sense of images, is hard for computers to do. Of course, computers see with cameras, and so photography is an important element in computer vision. As we pursued this story, we talked with professional photographers, and though they spoke about their craft in terms of cameras and lenses and aperture settings, they took us to a familiar conclusion. It's all about seeing.
I still think photography is nothing more and never will be anything more than learning the basics.
Richard Dischler is a photographer whose work has appeared in many major fashion magazines, and he's a designer of advanced lighting equipment for photographers.
The apps and all the other functions that the cameras or computers, if you will, have should augment your understanding of the basic skill of seeing. And the only way you're going to learn how to see is take control of the instrument. If the instrument's got control of you, well, welcome to Robot City. Well, the thing of it is, if you learn to control the camera, if you learn to control how you see, if you discipline your seeing, you're going to have better images.
Taking pictures of peregrine falcons, harriers, and golden eagles takes a lot of patience.
Did you see him dive? He's so far away that I'm just trying to watch him flap.
This is Stephanie Atkinson, a photographer in Northern California who says she's not only taking pictures of birds, but of their motion, streaks of color and light itself.
It's just captivating to see, to me, just to see how their wings move, how they look like flowers unfolding, or I don't just see blurry images. I see the space around them in time. With today's technology and cameras, you can see that, as well as I learned to see that more and more with my own eyes.
She's creating visual effects in the camera, changing shutter speeds, aperture, and other settings in real time.
My aperture and stuff sort of sounds like I'm playing music right on my camera, because once I see something, I'm like, oh, I gotta do it this way and this way.
But when asked about what apps can help someone take better photos, she gives a comment we heard from other photographers.
They're not production tools, they're post-production tools. But if you're using them from a place of knowing what it is you're trying to create from the beginning, from step one, from taking the picture, then they're powerful tools to enhance what you've already have in mind.
Atkinson knows a thing or two about computers and photography. In the late 1980s, she worked in television and used one of the most powerful graphics compute systems at the time called Paintbox. And eventually, she went to work for Quantel, the company that made it. You'd think that someone who has worked with state-of-the-art digital imaging tools would rely heavily on them in her photography. The problem is, those tools can't see. But the concept of developing machines that can see, machines that are more than just image tools, is a problem being addressed by many researchers worldwide. At this open house at Intel Labs in Pittsburgh on the campus of Carnegie Mellon University, Subhabrata Bhattacharya, a graduate student at the University of Central Florida, exhibits a project that addresses the question, can computers look at photographs and decide what to keep, what to throw out, and what to improve? The computer uses a criteria based on the aesthetic ratings of human users.
What we did was we extracted some aesthetic features from those images. The way we extract those aesthetic features are based on two main photo composition rules. One is the rule of thirds, and the other one is the adherence to the golden ratio, which are very much accepted in photographic community. So here is a flowchart on how that is done. So once those aesthetic features are extracted, what we do is we map those aesthetic features to a machine learning algorithm. It's a support with the with the ranks that user have already given.
Bhattacharya says the data allows the computer to rank new images based on previous ones it's learned. But even more, it can then relocate objects in the picture to increase the aesthetic quality of the image.
And similarly, we can also increase the visual weight distribution of the image. And that's how we can increase the aesthetic quality also. So the two algorithms we have shown here that actually do all these things, here are some of the results that you can see. We have achieved about 87% single subject compositions. We have assessed them correctly. 91% of landscape images where we have assessed them correctly.
Bhattacharya and the scientists he's collaborating with at Intel Labs say that such projects advance the understanding of machine learning by degrees. Although we're still a long way off from a computer being able to recognize the human artistic sensibilities in photos like Stephanie Atkinson's abstract images, Bhattacharya's project of a machine able to see basic aesthetics is a profound one. And it does not mean that machines will be taking fashion photographs for Vogue magazine anytime soon. It does mean they can help us, like saving time.
For Crumb's sake, there's more to life than sitting looking at a monitor. One thing I can't stand is, well, I'll fix it later. You know, well, okay, fine, but there's a lot of later adding up in your life.
Dischler's view, like that of many photographers, comes full circle to the thinking in computer vision research. It's not to create more choices for the user, but to help the user do what they do better. And with that in mind, Atkinson offers this advice on how to take better photographs.
Take one emotion and go out and photograph it. You know, and it might be the one you're feeling or one you just want to create, you know, because if it's isolation or if it's joy, you know, you're coming from really different perspectives. And when you come to it with something in your mind of what you're shooting, that's where you also develop and find your voice.
That's our show for today. Future Lab is the online radio series of Intel Labs. Some photos that go with today's show on photography are on Flickr. Use the search terms Future Lab and Intel. You can find more episodes of Future Lab on iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs can be found at intel.com/research.